Scott Spencer is the author of the new novel, A Ship Made of Paper. The story is about two couples, one white, one African American. The white couple, Daniel and Kate, pride themselves on their moderation in everything, until Daniel falls in love with Iris, an African American woman who is married and has a child. A Ship Made of Paper and Spencer's earlier novel, Endless Love, are both stories about obsession. This is how our book critic Maureen Corrigan describes Spencer's work. Though the love stories Spencer writes about are typically out of control, his writing never is. He's such a precise and lyrical writer that feelings experienced, but possibly never expressed in language before, materialize in his words. Terry spoke with Scott Spencer this spring.
Your new novel, A Ship Made of Paper, and your earlier novel, Endless Love, are about a certain type of love, a certain type of obsessive love. You're not only in love with someone, but your whole life kind of falls into the background as you pursue this passion. And in both novels, the character pursuing this passion kind of falls off the edge, and things around him just get inadvertently destroyed. What is your interest in that type of obsessive love?
Well, you know, Endless Love has been a blessing for me. I mean, it supported me as a writer for many years and supported my family for many years. And I sort of kept away from that subject for a long time because, you know, I don't want to become like the Barry White or the Johnny Mathis of literature. But the fact is, I do really enjoy writing about these things, these things that can be loosely categorized under the heading of love. But, you know, what some readers may choose to overlook, however, is that my view of this romantic and sexual impulse in my characters is always ambivalent. Like the hero of Endless Love, one reader pointed out to me, is, and I think quite correctly, is he's a stalker. And the protagonist in Waking the Dead only really loves his lover after she's disappeared, when she's literally been exploded. And Daniel Emerson in A Ship Made of Paper, part of his love for Iris Davenport is sort of shot through with a kind of annihilating naivete. And, you know, even though he's willing to do anything in the world to be with her, he's willing to do damage to others, and he's also, I think, to his credit, willing to have damage done to him. So I become curious, you know, what is it? Is love an ennobling emotion, or is it somehow like a debasing emotion? And I come up with the answer that it's both. But it's also something else. It's that something that animates us. It lights the fuse that leads right to our explosive core. And I think I wanted to write about this now because I have like the good fortune to have love come back into my life at the unseemly age of 50-something. I began writing this novel when I began living with this writer named Joanne Beard, the essayist Joanne Beard, you know, who's not very much like the woman in this novel. She's white, she's from Illinois, and she's not like Iris at all, but falling in love with Joanne and living with her gave me the energy to throw myself into a story of heedless passion, and I figured, hey, why not?
One of the things I love about your writing is your kind of ease with analogies. They just are always so good and often so funny. And even when the sentiment that somebody's expressing isn't really funny at all, suddenly this like funny image will set in. After this long list of things that have gone wrong in Daniel's life, and then he concludes by saying that he's actually never been happier, he has this description of erotic love, which I'd like you to read.
Much of this happiness is purely physical. It is an animal joy, a stunning, erotic completeness such as he has never experienced. Daniel had always secretly believed that people who went on about their sexual happiness were exaggerating. They were like those restaurant reviewers who compare a bowl of soup to a glimpse of heaven. They were sexual gourmets. They were like those wine critics who justify their expense account indulgences with words that not only elevated their simple human pleasures into some bold adventure of the senses, but also claimed to be extracting arcane nuances of pleasures that only they could discern.
And Daniel realizes he has now become one of those people. Yeah. But I thought that analogy to like a certain type of food writer and wine critic was perfect, and also helped me crystallize what I don't like about a certain type of food writing and wine criticism. And I these analogies seem to just come to you. I bet you don't really struggle over them.
That's not the hard part of writing for me. That's not the hard part.
The hard part is what?
The hard part is getting people in and out of rooms, just making the story move in an interesting way, and the psychology of the characters.
A couple of your novels have been made into screenplays, and you've written some screenplays yourself. Was there ever any thought in back of your mind as you were writing A Ship Made of Paper of maybe one day this will be a movie?
Well, this book took me well over 4 years to write, so I don't think there's any thought that didn't go through my mind.
You had plenty of time.
Maybe I would be canonized if... Or would it have to maybe go back to college, maybe perhaps go to law school or something. So I can't say that it never occurred to me, but it doesn't seem like a good thing to think when you're working on a book. It doesn't seem like a lucky thing to think. It doesn't seem like it would be good for the book, and I certainly didn't dwell on it.
When it takes you 4 years to write a novel, how do you stop from losing confidence during those 4 years? It's such a long time. I do a show every day. One show isn't very good. There's another one tomorrow. It's kind of like starting with a clean slate every day. The thought of a four-year-long project in which there's nothing that's complete until the end of that process, I would find that terrifying.
Well, I do find it pretty terrifying. And in the course of writing this particular book, I lost confidence in it quite a number of times, and again, I have the fortune of living with another writer who's really encouraging, and I don't know what I do to allow myself to keep going on. Sometimes I'll show a pages to friends and they say, "Oh, that's very nice." And that gives me enough, and sometimes it's just the memory that this is what it's like when you're lost in the wilderness of a book, and you just keep taking one little step after another, and sooner or later you come out. And it's also, it doesn't always work out.
Right. When you were a kid, did you write poems or stories?
Yeah, I did. I did. I wrote my first novel when I was 9 years old.
What was it about?
It was about a horse. It was about a horse who was forced into service in the German army, in the North African desert, and escaped from the Nazis, and was rescued by an American film crew that was making one of those Foreign Legion movies starring Buster Crabbe, and the horse galloped onto the set, and they adopted it.
That's really funny. You certainly weren't following the old adage, write what you know.
No, that's what I knew. That's what I was allowed to talk about anyhow.
Well, why do you think you wrote, is that what you thought novels should be about?
Well, I suppose it reminded me a little bit of what I had read or what I wanted to read, and it seemed incredibly exciting to me.
It's funny how far you've come from that, since most of your fiction is so much about internal matters, like adventures of the heart, not of like a horse who's inscripted into the German army or whatever.
Yes, But if I do write that book, would you have me back on?
I'll have you read the whole thing out loud.
All right, this is the shot in the arm that I need.
After the fourth draft, you can come on.
I think as a kid, and maybe this is a gender thing, I had no idea what my internal life was like, and as far as I'm concerned, I had none.
Huh. Falling in love or locking yourself up in the room and thinking things you didn't want to share with other people? And
falling in love, but not doing an awful lot of thinking.
Huh.
Not doing an awful lot of thinking.
That's odd because your characters have pretty thorough internal lives. I mean, and especially the ones that are first-person narrators, they have to.
Well, yeah, but that came much later for me.
Mm-hmm.
That came, unless I've just forgotten it all, but I can't think of a thought that I had until I was 12 years old.
What changed when you were 12?
I don't know. I guess, you know, you go through physical changes, you start, I don't know what changed when I was 12.
Puberty made you introspective?
I think I just puberty put me in contact with a better class of girl or something. I think that I'm one of those men who was really introduced to himself by girls.
That
my drive toward them finally led me back to myself because that's what they were interested in.
I mean that they were interested in people as opposed to adventure, or
they were interested in people as opposed to adventure, exactly, and they were also interested in relating,
right,
on a more intimate and psychological way. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah, sure, you want to do that, I can do that.
Scott Spencer's latest novel is A Ship Made of Paper.